All right, good morning. Thank you for tuning in to our Elizabeth Baptist Church Facebook live stream. We are currently closed right now due to some COVID cases in the area. We will reconvene in-person services as of right now on July the 13th, which is not this coming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday after that. But we are here this morning to worship. We are here this morning to preach the scriptures. We are here to give thanks to the God who is sovereign over everything. If you would, let's turn to our Bibles to Psalm 78. Psalm chapter 78. And we'll look at the first eight verses here this morning. Psalm 78 and verse 1 says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed in a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of life. Lord, we thank you for the rain this morning. And Lord, we just know that you know that we need it. Lord, I do thank you for it. I do thank you for the drive-in where we can just look around and see your creation and how it just declares your handiwork, God. I just thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the ability to reach out via the internet to continue to spread your message, to preach your scriptures, Lord. I do pray that you would use me to say something that would be pleasing to your ears, Lord. I do pray for open ears to hear the message, Lord, that if we take your word and apply it to our lives, that we could live better for you in this sin-filled world. Lord, pray blessings upon the message. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for the finished work of the cross. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past week, I have spent in the mountains of Roane County, and we spent that week with a group of kids from Hometown Independent Mission, where we tried to instill some of the great things of God's Word upon about 60 to 65 kids. And each year as we go into that camp, or we go into our VBS each year, I pray as many others do, Lord, help me to share something that will change one of these kids' life. And this shouldn't be one of those things that just happens those specific weeks. It should be something that we should pray constantly. It's something that we should strive to do. And the reason we do that is because this world, the kids are surrounded by a spiritual warfare that is constantly going on, a world that is full of corruption, full of sin, full of lawlessness. And a lot of times it feels like, as we look at the world, that sometimes it feels like we're losing ground as the next generation comes, and so on and so forth. And I've mentioned that there's this warfare going on between the prince and powers of darkness, and there is a war that is going on with them and God's people. But it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 that God, by his divine power, has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. He has given us a mission. He didn't send us out on that mission without any kind of artillery, though. In Ephesians 6, we read about an armor that he gives us to defend ourselves, how we're given the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and our feet shod with the gospel of peace. And he gives us the shield that we are to protect ourselves from the fiery darts of Satan. But also he gives us something that we can fight back with in the Word of God or the sword of the Spirit, as the Scripture says. And we need to be prepared spiritually for these warfare battles. And one of those ways that we can be prepared is that we can learn, we can study, we can get lessons from the ins and outs of those who have gone on before us. And there's three ways that we can learn. We can learn from our own experience, because battles are not a new thing. We all have these experiences that we go through these battles, or we go through these trials, and we can learn lessons firsthand on those things. You know, the Scriptures say that we should glory in our tribulation, or that we should count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. Okay, those are experiences that we are to learn from. Another way is to learn from studying history, those things that nations have made mistakes, nations that have struggled because of sin that they've got in their land. But the most important one to me is, and this is what we're going to kind of focus on, is those that are closest to us, our ancestors, our immediate and our distant family, that we learn from them, those that have been in our shoes already, that have already made the mistakes that we could potentially make, and we learn from them how to go on with this spiritual battle. And it is the latter that where these lessons from our parents, our grandparents, that we, if we are willing to listen to them, that we can learn the most. It is those parents and grandparents that have lived in, I say, your culture, or your land, where they have lived and they've made those mistakes. And if we're willing to listen to their stories, if we're willing to listen to their lessons, I believe that we would be learning how to navigate this Christian life. We've all heard the saying, if we're not willing to learn from our history, we are doomed to repeat it. And that is one of the things that we need to watch out for. And I think Asaph here in this psalm, he writes a historical teaching psalm in order to have one thing in mind. And that one thing that he wanted to do was to teach, and that people would learn from the mistakes that Israel had made, and that lives would be changed. And I want you to see three quick things from this psalm that Asaph puts forward. And the first is that what we want to learn about is how do we learn from our ancestors? How do we learn how to avoid these mistakes that they have made in the past? How do we navigate this life better? And one, we see in verses 1 through 4 that there is a tradition in sharing of our ancestors' history. And you see that in verse specifically verse 3, he says, which we have heard and known, our fathers have told us. Those things that they have gone through, and these lessons that they've passed down from generation to generation, there is a tradition in that. And what comes to mind most when we think about the tradition, everyone has those things that they like to do every year. Tomorrow being July the 4th, we will all meet at that same location that we met last year. We'll cook the same foods. It is something that we like to do each and every year. And they're called traditions, and it's things that we actually think that we try to incorporate things that our kids would want to take up and continue on and on and so on and so forth. And because I'm one of those people who like to eat, how about this tradition? Anybody have a small book or a small box full of index cards that are labeled with recipes that your mother or your grandmother or your great-grandmother handed down through the generations because they wanted you to be able to make that famous pecan pie, or they wanted you to make that famous strawberry shortcake, or they wanted you to make that favorite dish that has to be on the table at every family function? What about the vacation spot that your family has gone to for the last 50 years, where you go to that one specific bridge pier and you have stories after stories and memories where you share the good times and the bad times? Those times where you hope that you go and you share these memories and that your kids will tell their kids and that their kids will tell their kids, and new memories will be made in that process. But it is the tradition of handing down the stories and the memories in hopes that they will create their own. Also, what we need to see here is that Asaph, as what he does, is he brings up the tradition of handing down God's law. He revisits this tradition of passing down the goodness and the faithfulness of God despite the corruption that could come up within the nation of Israel. Those things that we believe are important to try to get people's attention, as he does here. He says in verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." That everybody can remember that one time when their grandpa or their dad set them aside and said, "Listen, I really want you to get this. Listen to the words of my mouth. I really want you to get this." And that's how Asaph starts this psalm, how he wants us to really understand. He really wants us to pay attention to the parental guidance, or to the Asaph being more like the secretary of the priesthood, and how he wants you to get these lessons that he is getting ready to tell you. "Give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears." And what is he about to say? He tells us in verse 2, he says, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." Just as our master did in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 35, he spake in these parables. And one reason he did that was to fulfill the prophets. But also what he wanted to do in these parables is he wanted to tell us the hidden treasures of the kingdom of God in these stories. And in these stories, what he does, parables were used for a reason, for this specific reason, that they wanted to penetrate the mind to think. They wanted to give you something to think about, and then when the parable was rightly understood, it made a deep, lasting impression on the life that the story was told to, right? And so here, and past our text in verses 9 through the end of the chapter, we get to see how Asaph goes over the course of their history, and he tells a historical narrative of all the sin and all of the forgetfulness and all of the problems that Israel has had. But what he really wants them to understand is God's faithfulness through that story, God's faithfulness through that history. And what we see in verse 3 is that it says, what we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. These parables, these stories, these memories, they were told to us by our fathers. And two things happen. It says that we have heard them, right? We have listened to those stories. We have listened to that time that our grandpa went out on the pier and he fell down because he wasn't paying attention, and so on and so forth. But we get the good and the bad stories. I want you to make sure you understand that our tradition of sharing history needs to be of the good times and the bad times, where we see God's faithfulness. Okay. And also what happens, he says, we have known them. We have known them. Not only heard them, because we can all hear. We get that time where we listen to our grandpa tell these stories over and over and over again. And us young and sometimes silly youngsters, they just don't want to pay attention. They've heard the story, but they don't really grasp the message. But here Asaph says, we've not only heard them, but we've known them. We understand what they were trying. We understand the lesson that they were trying to get across. And that is exactly what happens here. And one of the verses that comes to mind is when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And after he tells her that her sins have been forgiven, and she runs into town and she tells everybody, says, that come see a man that told me all that I ever did. Come see a man that has told me my life story. Is this not the Messiah? Come and see. And they believed what she said. They heard what she said. But when you get down to verse 42 of John chapter 4, the people that come to hear Jesus says, now we believe, not because of your words, but because we have seen, because we have known that this is Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. They know it. They've grasped it. They've got the lessons that Jesus had for them. And in verse 4, after we've heard and known, we're not going to hide it. These stories need to be passed on from generation to generation. It needs to be passed on. It needs not to be hid. We should continue the tradition of sharing these historical accounts. We can look back on our lives and we can see three things that we should tell our kids about every day. Okay, because we can look back at moments in our history of our whether short or long life, and we can see God's work and progress throughout our lives with decisions that we made, some wrong decisions, some right decisions, but we saw God's hand in every one of those. Whether we praise Him for the good decisions we made, or we made poor decisions because we weren't seeking after God, but we felt God's correcting hand, right? Because the Lord chastens whom He loves. But here in our text specifically, He says three things that we need to tell the next generation. We need to show the generation to come the praises of the Lord. We need to teach them how to thank Him. We need to teach them how to glorify Him. We need to teach them how to worship Him, because He is worthy of our praise. First thing you could do, honestly, is one of the greatest ways to praise Him is to walk outside and look at creation and say, Lord, look at your handiwork. Look at it in motion. And God, you are the best great creator of all things. And you are worthy to be praised. The second thing in here that we need to tell them is of His strength. Of God's strength. There's times in life where we run into those trials, we run into those temptations, we run into those hardships where we don't think we're going to get out. But God's strength shows up. Because when we rely on Him, we get His strength. It comes within us. It comes to strengthen us within. There's times where we don't think we can get through, but it says in Philippians 2 and verse 13 that it is God that works in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure, right? Something that we can get strength from Him. And the last thing that we get out of verse 4 that we need to include in our tradition of sharing our history is that we need to show His wonderful works that He has done. The wonderful works that He has done. Psalm 107 and verse 8, I feel like, is one of the good psalms of our scripture. And it repeats, I believe, four times this one verse. 4 times in Psalm 107. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. That people would praise the Lord and tell their children of God's goodness and His wonderful works. And we need to continue that tradition. We need to continue that. We need to continue to tell the next generation how great God is. But not only is it a tradition, but also it's a command. Back in our text in Psalm 78, it's not just a tradition, it is a command. It says, for He established a testimony in Jacob. He established a covenant with Jacob. He established a law, right? You see, He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. And what was in that law? Which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, and that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. It's those traditions that are established by God. that we should pass on to our next generation. Those traditions of the words of Scripture, those traditions of those great hymns from Franny Crosby, right? We need to pass those truths of God's Word on to the next people, right? And it is a command. And it is a command in three ways. If you would, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to show you a couple of people that this is a command to. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the command has been given to parents and to grandparents that they should pass on the law and the history of God. Deuteronomy 6, and we'll look at verse 2. It says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes which I commanded thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. These are commands that are supposed to go on for generation and generation and generation. It's not something that should stop with us. The gospel needs to be passed on. The gospel of Jesus needs to have that next group of people in line to teach. Okay, let's go down to verse 7. It says that, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them on the posts of thy house and on thy gates. First thing it says is you got to teach them. You got to sit down and say, give ear to me, little one. Incline your ears to these lessons. These are the words of our Heavenly Father. Give them those words. You got to not only teach it, but you got to talk it. When we're sitting around our 4th of July celebration tomorrow, you should be telling the young ones that are there, or any people for that matter, you need to be telling those people around you about the goodness of God. It's a good conversation piece. You need to talk it. Not only that, it says, when thou walkest by the way. When you're going through town, not only when you're family, but when you're going through town and you run into that, I say, stranger on the road, or maybe not so stranger, you should be willing to tell them about Jesus as well. When you walk by, it should be an everyday thing that you carry with you. It's not a just in the walls of the church. It is a lifestyle. God is in the life-changing business. It's not just for the inside the walls of the building. It is a lifestyle to walk it, to carry it with you. It says here that you should put it on your house, on your porch. People should know. People should know that you are a believer. People should know of how you want to live your life. People should know these things. And it says on thy gates. Not only is it for parents and grandparents, but in Deuteronomy 17, this was a command to the king. Some 400 years before King Saul is ordained as king, God gives this direction. He really starts up in verse 14 and he says, you're not to add to your army and so on and so forth. You're not to multiply in your wives. But when you get down to verse 18, it says, and it shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book of that which was before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of the law and these statutes, and to do them. It was a command for him to learn them from those that have gone on before him. It is a command for him to learn them and to do them, to copy them, to read them, to learn them, to keep them. It's not only a command for parents and grandparents, it's not only a command for the king of the nation, but it is a command for the church. The church, Matthew 28 is the Great Commission, and God gives us this commission that says that all authority had been given to him in heaven and earth, and that we as disciples of Christ are to go into the world preaching the gospel, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then it says what? To teach them. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Pass along his lessons. I've had this discussion with many people this week. These kids that we see at church camp that come and we want life changes to happen. It's great to get them to profess Christ, but that's not where we should stop. We should want them to have a deep, meaningful relationship with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not enough just to get them saved. We want them to live. We want them to continue this tradition. We want them to continue this command to pass on the name of Jesus to their kids and the kids after them, so on and so forth. We want them to continue sharing the history that have been given to us. All right? Back in our text in Psalm 78, I want to tell you how far this is supposed to be carried out. Adam Clark, when he commented on this, says that there is five generations represented in this passage. It says, So in verse 5 it says, our fathers, he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, there's two, that the generation to come might know them, even their children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Five generations of carrying out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Five generations of carrying out his laws. Five generations of historical lessons where we can learn from our fathers about making mistakes. But we have to tell them. And we need to tell them the good and the bad. Asaph, through the rest of this psalm, talks about how many times Israel fell short. How many times they sinned. How many times they forgot. But God was always faithful. That's not to say we use salvation as liberty for the occasion. It means that we should hurt when we sin. It should bother us. As Pastor Jeff says, if it doesn't bother you, then something's wrong. Maybe, as he would say, your wood's wet, right? It is a command to tell the children about God, to tell them about his law, to tell them about his works, his praise, his strength, but also his love, his mercy, his grace, his salvation. And if parents don't do it, grandparents should. And if grandparents don't do it, the church should. It should be passed. It says there. It doesn't say my. It says there. The generation. Tell the generation to come. The older people in our church should be finding that Timothy in the faith, that they can pass their church lessons down to, that they can, those times where God corrected them, that they would share those with those young people in the church. Sometimes they, children, they're not willing to listen to their parents. That's the world we live in, right? But maybe if the people of the church would take time to bring one of those young guys underneath their wing and say, buddy, I struggled here. I've learned this lesson. I don't want you to make the same mistakes. I want you to have your mind set on the things of God. If we don't follow this command, the next generation is going to struggle. If we don't follow this tradition, if we don't follow this command, they're going to struggle. When I go and fill in at these different churches, I hear about the people, the churches that are struggling to find pastors. The ones that have no one to preach, the ones that have no one to share the gospel message. And my question is it because someone is not doing what they are traditioned and commanded to do? Is that because they're not sharing the gospel like they should, that God is not raising up preachers to fill those pulpits? I don't know. But I know that Daniel Waters sings this song, "Who is going to fill their shoes?" Churches now are having pastors that are aging, right? Who is going to fill their shoes? Who is going? We look around. I know that I think I count 9 churches in the town of Buffalo. I don't know how many between Red House and Polka. I don't know how many's here. I'm not taking the time to count. But all of those churches, somebody has to fill those pulpits to tell people about Jesus. Who is going to do it? And if we don't continue the traditions of sharing our history and the command to share our history, they're not going to be there. Who's going to tell them? It's one of those things I often thought once upon a time when Paul said he was in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to go on and be with Jesus, which is far better. I wondered. I wondered why God, when he saves the sinner, why don't he just go ahead and call him home? Because it says in the scripture, it's far better place to be. I would agree with that. But it goes back to this question. Who's going to tell him? Who is going to tell them about the saving power of Jesus Christ? Who's going to tell them? Paul says, it is much more needful for you that I remain, that we can be stronger in the faith together, right? That he will be able to continue. We have to continue the tradition. We have to continue the command. But there's a reason why we do this. There's a reason why we continue to share these things. And he says it in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set their heart not aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. We study history so that we will not make the same mistakes our ancestors did. We listen to the stories that our grandparents told us and the things that the insights that they give us so that we don't make the same mistakes that they did. In this psalm, Asaph walks all the way through the history of Israel and with this goal in mind that the next generation will set their hope and confidence in God. Here in our King James Bible, it says that they would set their hope in God, that confident expectation of fulfillment, right? It's hope is not how we use it today, where we hope Polka wins the ball game or we hope Buffalo wins the ball game. Hope is something that we have a expectation of something to come. That the glory in Romans 8 and 18, the glory that's going to be revealed in us is way better than any of the struggles that we face here. That kind of hope, I know it's there. I know it's there. You should know it's there. The New American Standard translate this word as confidence in God. That they would set their confidence in Him. Our hope in going to church camp or going through our vacation Bible school is to let kids know of a Heavenly Father that loves them even if they fall short. Make known God's will and make known His salvation. Let them know of the mistakes we've made, where we've fallen short, the times where we tried to do the things on our own instead of waiting on God, and our patience got the best of us and we didn't seek after Him. We need to make that stuff known so that the people that follow us will not make those same mistakes. We want them to know that they can go to God at any time, day or night, praise or problem, to in all their ways acknowledge Him, because He'll be there. I'll tell you what we don't want, though. We don't want what happens in verse 8. We don't want them to make the same mistakes. We don't want them to be as their fathers, right? The lessons that have slipped through the cracks that didn't get passed down, we don't want them to make the same mistakes that their fathers did. We don't want them to, in verse 7, we don't want them to forget the works of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read verse 7 where we're instructed to pass on those traditions from family generation to family generation. But he goes on just a few verses later, and he said, you're going to share these with your family as a command. He said, but there's going to come a time that if you don't share these, you're going to come into this land. You're going to come into the promised land, and there's going to be wells there that you didn't dig, and there's going to be vineyards there that you didn't plant or sow. There's going to be houses there that you didn't build. He said, and for Joe Rogers' translation here, when you are short, fat, and happy, when all things are good, beware, lest you forget God. Because that's what we don't want. We don't want our kids to forget the works of God. We don't want them to be stubborn in verse 8. Stubborn in their own ways, stubborn in their pride, stubborn in their selfishness, stubborn in the ways of the world, in the ways of the flesh. We don't want them to be stubborn in those ways. We want them to be humble. We want them to be compassionate. We want them to have a loving spirit to pass those things on to their kids. We also don't want them here, not only stubbornness, but we don't want them to be directly rebellious to God's way. They're stubborn in their own ways, but they are rebellious to God's way. We want them to know the right way that they should take, right? We don't want them to have a poor heart, right? It says that they're set not their heart aright. One of the things when I read the rest of the psalm was that stuck out to me is verse 36 and verse 37. And the reason I tell you this is because it bothers me. Verse 36, okay, let me go back. Verse 35 says, and they remembered that God was their rock. They knew that they could turn to Him. And that the high God, their Redeemer, right? He was the one that was taking care of him. But it says, and this scares me. This scares me of where our country is at right now. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. Some people have made Christianity so easy that there's no follow through. It bothers me. Yeah, there's times where, you know, one of our biggest fears is when we pass these traditions down to our kids and they tell us, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to follow the commands of God. We're not going to allow the world to get in. We're not going to go the ways of our fathers. But that happens on Sunday morning. And Monday morning is a whole different person. They lied to God with their tongues. I think that's why we're in the shape that we're in. It says, for their heart was not aright with him. In verse 37, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. They didn't push the stories. They didn't push the tradition. They didn't push the command. They weren't steadfast in that. They didn't take the time. They didn't want to sit on the couch with their kids before bedtime and say, this is what God's word says, because it was inconvenient because they were running around hustling and bustling for everything else under the sun. They didn't have time. It was kids go get in bed. They didn't have time to sit and teach them and tell them these lessons that come from God's word. It's scary. It's scary because if we don't do this, if we don't have the tradition, we don't have the command, and we don't have the hope, right? We always want better for our kids. But our hope should be in the things of God. Church, take note. Share your story with the kids in your congregation. Parents, take note. Share God's goodness in your life with your kids. And hopefully that'll make them put their hope in God instead of the fancies of this world. Kids, take note. Listen to your parents and learn everything you can from them. Learn from the good decisions they've made. Learn from the bad decisions they've made. And learn from the decisions that God blessed. God is faithful. God is good. And our confidence and our hope should be in Him. I want to share one final quote with you. And it kind of sums this up, because I feel like it's something that our world has got going on. I feel like we're changing the church to fit the world. I feel like we're changing the Bible to fit the world. But Spurgeon put it like this. we shall not adjust our Bible to the age. But before we have done with it, by God's grace, we shall adjust the age to the Bible. That should be our goal. That is why we teach the scriptures. That is why we pray for those around us. That is why we pass on the tradition of history. That is why we follow through with the commands of God to share history from our ancestors. And it should come with a hope that the next generation will put their hope in God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've gotten your word. Lord, I do pray that as this scripture challenges me, Lord, that I would take time to sit down with my children, sit down with the children in our congregation, Lord, and Lord, that we would pass the lessons down. We would continue the tradition of telling them the God's law and of his love and his mercy and his grace, and continue to tell him of your wonderful works, Lord. Lord, I do pray that as you've commanded us to do so, that we would not take that responsibility so lightly, Lord, that we would continue to do that as you have commanded us. Lord, I do pray that you would give us hope, that we would pass that hope on to the next people after us. Lord, that we wouldn't be stubborn. Lord, that we wouldn't be rebellious against your way, against your commands, but that we would set our hope and our confidence in you. God, I pray that as we've learned this lesson from your word, that we would apply it to our lives. Lord, that we would raise up a generation that would fill the shoes of those people who are working for you right now. God bless this message to the hearts of everyone who listens. And we love you. We ask you for your forgiveness where we fall short. In Jesus' name, amen.